Barnabas and priests and I were there in bits. I was there 5 days ago. They were there most of the full attack and today. So thanks for your prayers. As normally happens when children go away for an activity with on residential, very few people have got very much sleep on the first night. But the weather was lovely, the activities have been great, and I think the teaching material, the Bible teaching material, has been very well received. The young people, the children are attentive. So it's an encouraging project to be part of, and I'm going to bust it up in 10 months. So thanks for praying for that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. At the end of, I'm reading a longer section just to help us see how our passage is going to fit. 14 to the end of chapter 3, Paul sets out here the thing that drives the Christian life, the message of Jesus. So verse 14, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing to you these instructions, so that if I am delayed, you will be able to know, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. And then, I see someone on the Zoom is not muted. If you're on Zoom, you can hear me. Please mute yourself. Can you see how to mute them? It's a button on the screen. If you go to participants, beginning of chapter 4, the false teaching is going on. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. The next paragraph, Paul tells Timothy how he should live his life as a minister. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the truth of the faith, of the good teaching that you have followed, and nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and strive, because we put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially those who believe. Now, we talk to things about how we should relate to the congregation. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. If you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we are focusing this morning just on that last paragraph, two paragraphs, verse 11 to 16. How Timothy, the pastor, should relate to the congregation. And it might feel for you that it's irrelevant. It might be able to read this on his own at home and think about how to put it in practice and get on to stuff that's for all of us. But it is for all of us because it tells us about some of the priorities of the church life. Unlike those who abandon the faith, which is happening at the end of this time, we need to stick with the good teaching that we have heard. It tells us here that the minister in the church, the pastor, is to be a model, an example of the kind of things we're all to practice. And so it tells us as well what sort of ministry, what sort of work our church needs if we're to be healthy. We all need to understand that, not just me. I've taken verses 11 to 16 into three sections, each of what the pastor does for the sake of others. Paul is telling Timothy to be a pastor who will command and teach, who will be devoted to speaking God's word, and who will keep going. So three main ideas there: commanding and teaching, be devoted to speaking God's word, and keep going. So firstly, a pastor who will command and teach for the sake of others. So first, this is a message to the pastor, to Timothy, written to Timothy, verse 11. Command and teach. You command and you teach these things. Verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you, because you are young. So this is a message to Timothy. But it's what is to do for the sake of others. So commanding and teaching is for others. Verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers. The believers in the New Testament are not just people who know certain ideas or certain facts. It's partly that, but it's knowing these facts with a certainty so that they trust, so they depend on them. And that's because trusting God, in particular trusting Jesus, the Son of God, and his death on our behalf, that's the only way that we will be saved when God's presence is in our life. The only way that we can be God's family now. Those of you who believe in God, once you know those ideas about God, know them with a certainty. Trust them. Verse 11 starts in the same way as verse 6 had done. Command and teach these things. Back in verse 6 it said, if you point out these things. And it probably talked about all of chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, all of the instructions for how church should conduct itself, how people should conduct ourselves in God's households. Timothy must be confident instructing people, commanding them, teaching them. This is what God intends. This is good to hear. But commanding other people to resist can meet resistance, can't it? Especially if you're a young person and you're instructing older people. See that verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. They might well look down on you because you're young. That's what Timothy is. But Paul is challenging the congregation, saying to you, the congregation, don't be prejudiced. They might look down on him because he's young. We might be colorblind and resist someone's teaching because they are black and they are white. We might ignore some wise advice because he's Igbo and I'm Yoruba. What are the prejudices we have that stop us from hearing the teaching of God? That's what Paul is calling again. Timothy's young, so it's natural for others to look down on him. What can he do to stop them doing what is so natural? Verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example to the believers. Speech and conduct in love, in faith, and in purity. Don't stop others thinking badly about you, but you can remove some of the reasons that they have for that. And Timothy is to be a visual aid of what he's teaching by his life. A match here between life and lip, between words and actions. And this is one of the reasons why you shouldn't have a YouTube preacher as your pastor, because you can't know a YouTube preacher. And it's terrible, the fact that in recent years a number of very successful online preachers have been dismissed from their bodies as they were exposed for their wrong living. They shouldn't have had a great following, but they were able to keep secret some of their behaviour, partly because they weren't well known. Great teachers that come through them. Well, you can know something of my life here as a pastor if you're in a growth group. You can come to a prayer meeting. When I get an opportunity to come to your homes, to come to an event like Scubbers, meet me in coffee afterwards. Because we're a size of church, it enables all of you to know after that, see my life, and get the responsive teaching. Now, Paul sets out the kind of model Timothy should be, verse 12, what sort of things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in these things, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, why this list? What's a good question to ask? Would you have written a different list? Think about what you know from the New Testament. Are there other qualities that you think, well, they should be there too for a good pastor? Why doesn't it mention hope? Why doesn't it mention doing evangelism? I think the answer is that these are the qualities that false teachers were lacking in Timothy's time. Their words were not a good model. Their speech wasn't helpful to others. Timothy needs to speak reliably from God's words. He needs to be a model in conduct. And that's what a lot of Timothy 3, chapter 3 to 4, 6 are about, how people conduct themselves. He needs to be a model in love. Love means thinking about other people for their benefit. So that rather than the false teachers, we learn in chapter 1 of this book, their work is creating disputes. This example in trust. Again, chapter 1 said the false teachers weren't helping people grow in trust. But trust is the way of God's work. In fact, trust or faith, if you know the word is written as faith there, the faith or trust, it's a theme word in this book. And lastly, purity. Purity was an issue in selecting or encouraging those who were have overtime responsibility in chapter 3 of this book. So they weren't to be devoted to alcohol. They would be a one woman man. So all of these characteristics are that they fit within the situation. We might think there's other examples, other issues that the ministry today might have as an important model for Christians. But it is a model for Christians. These are things we're all to be pursuing in our lives. And so there's a question for all of us. How do you measure? How do you measure against these five things? Word, conduct, love, faith, trust, purity. We thank God for some work in our lives. That we pray for more of it, but we're not going to be counted. So, Paul teaches Timothy and others to be a pastor who will command and teach for the sake of others. Second, a pastor who will be devoted to speaking God's word for the sake of others. A pastor who will be devoted to speaking God's word for the sake of others. Verse 13, until I come, this is Paul saying this, until I, Paul, come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which is given to you through prophecy. Verse 2, Timothy, devote yourself, don't neglect your gift, given to you, talk to Timothy, but he's doing it for the sake of others, for public reading, for preaching, for the servant of his work. What's he to do while he's waiting for Paul to arrive? Devote himself. Public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. If you turn back to one page, chapter 1, verse 4, and it suggests what other people were devoting themselves to. Chapter 1, verse 4, Timothy's to command people not to devote themselves to myths and endless trivialities. They were devoting themselves to things that actually didn't benefit us. back to the page we're on, chapter 4, verse 1. The word devote is in the original language, not in our English, but chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times someone abandon the faith and be devoted to deceiving spirits and things to drive demons. But Timothy is to be devoted to the ministry of God's word. Back to our passage, chapter 4, verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. God says that the speaking of his word keeps churches safe. Safe against false teaching. It shows that false teaching is wrong. And the speaking of God's word is how a church and the people in the church will grow in life with God. So we've got public reading there. Now we may be a church that's devoted to the teaching of the Bible, but does the same hold true for reading it amongst us? Maybe we want more reading than our church meetings. And for that reason, since January, we've been having an extra Bible reading each Sunday on the weeks when children are not in. So this morning we had Psalm 135, as well as the 1 Timothy passage. I'm trying to pick passages for further reading that do have some link to the later passage. I'm trying to pick passages that are standout Old Testament passages that we really ought to know. Not obscure ones, but I'm sure we're going to know it's background for the understanding of God. That's an important part of our meeting, so who should do it? Who do we get to play the piano? There's only two people who get to play the piano, aren't there? We don't generally pick anyone to play the piano. We're thankful that they do have the gift to do that. Who do we get to preach? Do it like that. Well, reading the Bible is also an important activity of what we do together. And it's not just that it's not something that we're going to want to ask someone differently, they can read out loud. You know, someone who's able to read it, it's not got enough qualifications. Somebody's going to give some attention, give some thought to preparing to read it carefully. Because you can really wreck a message, can't you, by reading badly. We've also, since January, been following practice that first we preach the sermon, we read the passage beforehand. Because of those reasons for me or something, so they'll have spent time looking at the passage and be familiar with it and should be able to read it as well. Devote yourself to public reading, to preaching. In our church, that's mainly preaching based on one of the Bible passages that we've read. What I'm doing now, I'm trying to show you the meaning that's in the Bible. And our passage is to go through a book in the Bible. At the moment, we're going through the first chapter of Timothy, week by week. Last week, we're in an early part of chapter 4. Next week, we'll be in chapter 5, and we'll carry on through. By doing that, we give ourselves the best chance of understanding the passage. Because that's the way it works. It's actually written to be understood as a whole message to Timothy. It's also a control. It protects us from hiding from the passages if we don't mind. We're disciplined to say, right, we're going to go through all the books of the Bible over 15 years, and we're going to go through chapter by chapter. It stops us hiding. Sometimes we might hide. It also stops us focusing on the same old thing. Every year we're going to have to do the same. So be devoted to the public reading of Scripture, to the preaching, the teaching. This probably refers to the apostles' message about Jesus. I think we have put our trust in. Remember that. Be passing that on to others. Be devoted to speaking God's word. It's central to the life of a healthy church. And therefore it should be central to the work of the pastor. So if, sadly, you were to choose to leave Anglican Parish Church and move to another area, you ought to be thinking about which church you're going to go to. And you would do well to meet the pastor of the church that the city is going to. And you might say, well, how much time do you spend preparing your sermon? They say, generally, I find an hour something to do. That might be an indication for you to look at another church. You know, if you have a lot of should be devoted to the word because God is a speaking person. Because of the character, the nature of who God the Creator is, that we should be devoted to the word. It's a person. Paul in this book talks about God is the living God. Verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15, it says, if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God. Chapter 4, verse 10. That is why we labour and strive, because we put our hope in the living God. And that came out in Psalm 135. Look at the eyes of the nation. The hope is they've got ears, we can't hear. The mouths, we can't speak. They can't hear. They're not living, but the living God speaks. And we know people by listening to their words. That's why in the New Testament, when it does talk about speaking in tongues in church, it says it is only allowed if there's an interpreter to speak in tongues. Because if you're speaking in a foreign language, I can't understand you. I need an interpreter to interpret your message. If tongues are going to happen, there's only two, maybe three people. Only if there's an interpreter. If there's no interpreter, no tongues in church. Because God is a speaking God. And he speaks that we might know him. He's not just a God who goes to high displays. He speaks through his speaking that we know him. Through his speaking we are changed. Verse 14. Do not neglect your gift, Timothy, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Now, there's no record in the Bible of an event that he's talking about. Seems to be looking back to a time when Timothy was appointed to be a pastor, to be a minister. So not when he became a Christian. God the Holy Spirit comes into our lives when we become Christians, born again. God the Holy Spirit can also choose to give Christians a special gift and ability for other times in their life. And that seems to be what's happening here. So the Holy Spirit is with Timothy, enabling him to be a pastor. The Holy Spirit also, as we've seen on one of the slides this morning, he speaks today in the Bible. He doesn't say, as the Holy Spirit said, he says, as the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit is saying the words that are in the Bible today. So the preacher, because given the gift by God, the Holy Spirit enables the preacher to teach. Holy Spirit is speaking in the Bible, and if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you, enabling you to receive the message, to understand it, and to desire to respond to it. Not just like a school lesson, me teaching ideas from the Bible that you may or may not remember. Yes, God's here, God's in this. If you choose to do it, you can't control that. Timothy is to be a pastor who will command and teach for the sake of others. He's to be a pastor who will be devoted to speaking God's word for the sake of others. And he's to be a pastor who will keep going for the sake of others. A pastor who will keep going for the sake of others. Verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. So you see again, it's to Timothy the pastor. Give yourself to them to see your progress. But it's for the sake of others. Be diligent. That means take care to do it right. Persist. Give yourselves wholly. Give yourself wholly to it. It means be immersed in it, totally engaged with it. This is not to be a part-time hobby. It's a whole life experience. And again, that's true for all of us if we are Christians. This can't or maybe not being so distracted as they were, but the desire that God could be influenced in how they behave. It's important, Paul says, that everyone should see Timothy's progress. Verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them, to the teaching, the living, the life of it, so that everyone may see your progress. That's a bittersweet message for a Christian teacher. It's sweet because it says you don't have to have arrived. You don't have to have perfect knowledge. You don't have to have a perfect life in order to become a pastor. It's one of these in progress. Timothy didn't have to show his arrival. He had to show his progress. But there's a bitterness in that, isn't there? Because a preacher can never sit back and think, well, I've done it. I don't have to learn anymore. A pastor who serves God's word must always be secretly changed by the words that he teaches. That is true for me. And then people will see the progress. The point is not that the pastor is the perfect Christian. The pastor is someone who's an example of a Christian, but there's progress happening as well. Now that's still a tricky idea, isn't it? Because how are you going to spot that? Does that mean that this month Joel is going to be a better Christian than he was last month? And the month before, and you can have a sort of checklist, and you can check off where I'm going. And in your life, if that's the case, check the progress month by month, year by year. God may change us at different stages in our life. But the most essential part of growth in godliness, life with God, is not that I become clearer and stronger and more about my Christian life. It's that I have a deeper and truer sense that I depend on God. Is that how we express in the church? That how we express in the church? That's how I should be expressing. You know, bigger ideas and bigger sort of satisfaction in my Christian life. So deeper trust and assurance about God. And one sort of powerful sense of progress is simply staying on course. We progress as a Christian by staying on course and progressing towards verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you can save both yourself and your hearers. To relax, the minister's not to relax about his own life, but his understanding of God's words is to persevere closely. Because as Timothy patiently, consistently presenting the message of God's words to God's people, he's bringing the message of salvation, and it's through the message of salvation that the Holy Spirit saves. God says that he uses ministers to speak his message. So in that sense, Timothy was saved himself in his ears. He was saved himself by staying true, staying within the message of Jesus, and seeking to live the life of David. Stay within the message of Jesus. An element of this as well is that as the minister seeks to stay true to the message, he seeks to increasingly live his life in line with the message. The church is protected from the sort of scandals that close churches. A few weeks ago, didn't we, about ministers who were taken out of their role of sexual abuse of members of their congregation or financial abuse. And that closes the church. And if the church is closed, then God's people can bring in salvation. So that's the Text on church, please, you know, if you're a Christian, please, you know, if you're a pastor,